podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Top Order Podcast. Stu and Balder here with another instalment of our IPL 2024 coverage. Today we're going to look back at the game between LSG and RCB, as well as the most recent match featuring KKR and the Delhi Capitals. There's plenty to discuss from both games, so let's get right to it. Not sure if there was a swish there. Baldy said he might try, but it... Oh, brilliant. There it is.
I'm struggling with technology today, Stuart. I've had a lo-fi technology day. I just want to talk some cricket. What are we gonna discuss? I can't believe that we're going to start by talking about another 270 plus score in a 20 over game. But lead us in.
Well, Baldy, yeah. Look, we will get to Lucknow and Bengaluru and kind of the phenomenon that is Mayank Yadav very, very soon, because that's been super exciting for me. But yeah, I think, as you say, we've got to start today with the game we saw overnight here in New Zealand, KKR, Delhi. I'd given Delhi a bit of a bump in my power rankings on Monday night, sort of thought, wondered if maybe they'd found something, a bit of a positive formula by kind of shuffling their batting order around. But look, it just counted for nothing against KKR, as they were just absolutely thumped to all parts. And basically, you know, we'll touch on a little bit of the cricket ball there, but I guess I want to open the show with a bit of an existential question, because basically, what is going on? Are we about to be living in a world where 270 and 20 overs is now a thing that happens sometimes regularly? I'm a bowler, and I'm not sure I'm ready emotionally for this.
I think emotionally ready is the phrase that we have to kind of think about, really, because at what point, and I'm not advocating for T20 becoming a 140 plays 140 kind of contest. But there has to be some kind of balance, I think, between bat and ball. I've been thinking a lot about this today. And I don't think we're quite ready to have the discussion yet, because we do want to see, and we did see in that game, some tremendous hitting. And I don't think we want to take away from tremendous hitting. But I think there needs to be a little bit more jeopardy in the game somewhere. If you make a mistake, the bowler should be in with a chance to get you out. And it just doesn't feel like that at the moment. In fairness, some of those maximums that Narayan hit, that Russell hit, that Rinku Singh hit, they would have been sixes on any ground. So let's take nothing away from them. And pretty much everything came off for KKR. If you have a look at the modern way of thinking, it's not about how many you get, but how quickly you get them. And everyone scored at 150 plus throughout the innings. I mean, the lowest strike rate in that entire innings was Phil Salt at the top 18 off 12, and then everyone else was kind of 160 plus, and most of them were 200 plus. So, you know, it's a game of strike rates now, T20 cricket, and as I said on the Monday night show, it hasn't aged well, my comment. Let's see if it happens again. Well, two nights later, we're talking about it again.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? I mean, yeah, look, I think you're right that we don't want to be going too far the other way, and look, I think in some cases the two bouncer rule has actually helped. I think that's been a good thing. We've seen it so far in this tournament. It has helped the bowlers get going. But yeah, I mean, as you say, Sunil Narayan especially just absolutely went berserk. I mean, he he faced five dot balls to start, and then he's just gone ballistic and ended up on a huge total at a very quick rate. I want to talk about those two West Indians, because I guess I posed a bit of a question, you know, right at the start, a preview around those two guys, Andre Russell and Sunil Narayan, who I actually looked it up before. They're only 35, and I can say only 35 now that I'm sort of approaching 40. But I was worried that they can they still kind of do it? And I went back and thought, did I have justification to do that? And look, 2023, Andre Russell averaged 20 with the bat and went at an economy rate of more than 11 with the ball. Sunil Narayan averaged 3 with the bat in 2023 to go with 8 in his previous season and 7 the season before, and then 35 with the ball. So I feel like there was some justification to think, can they still do this? But they've just been absolutely phenomenal so far.
They've been amazing, haven't they, the Knight Riders? And it's on the back of their top order. In fact, it's on the back of their batting. They've been just phenomenal. Dre Russ has been phenomenal. Clearly, Binksy got in his ear and said, hey, look, I don't know that you know this guy, but there's this guy, this Australian guy that I know, he's been mocking you and saying that you're not going to get many men of the match performances. And he's proved us wrong, hasn't he? He's been fantastic. And Rinku Singh's just putting, you know, just the biggest layer of ganache on the richest, deepest, darkest, velvetiest chocolate cake that, you know, anyone can produce. I'm thinking of, you know, the what's the English lady's name? I can't remember her now.
Nigella?
Ah, the jokes escape me. Yes, it's a Nigella Lawson chocolate gâteau. That's what 272 for 7 is. It's an absolute Nigella chocolate gâteau with just the biggest layer of ganache on the top. But look, when you get that score, it's almost, it's not impossible to chase, but if you fall at 166 all out or you get 246 all out, it doesn't really matter, does it? You're still short. And so I don't think that there's any difference between the Mumbai game and this game in terms of the scoreline, as far as, you know, the drubbingness of drubbings is concerned. You've got to go for it. And you know, for Marsh, for Shaw, for Warner, it didn't come off. And they fell well short in the end, 100 runs short, if you can believe it, in a T20.
And yeah, let's talk about Delhi in a second, because yeah, there are a few little things to unpack about them. But before we leave KKR and their batting innings especially, we should mention, not on debut, Ankush Raghuvanshi, but first actual bat in an IPL game. I'm just stunned by the fearlessness of these young players. I genuinely just don't know what is going on. You know, 18 years old, he walks to the crease, hits his first two balls in IPL cricket for four. You know, thinking of same Samir Rizvi the other day, hits his first ball off Rashid Khan for six. I mean, you must have been pretty excited to watch this kid play. And the fact that we've got this KKR lineup just smashing it all over the place, and then they bring this guy in who's reverse lapping sixes. That was an incredible shot, and bringing up 50 off 25 balls. Pretty amazing.
Wasn't it amazing? And some of the shots that were being played out there, I mean, there were shots played off with one hand full stretch to get York, like wide hole Yorkers, getting them away for six runs. It was just incredible to watch. And the skill level of some of these players, and as you say, the fearlessness of these players is just, it beggars belief, really. But it comes back to, if you know that if you miss hit a ball, it's still going to go for six, there's no jeopardy in cricket, mm-hmm. if you're a young batter and if you've got confidence. And you know, my wife pointed it out to me as we were watching the highlights, the athleticism and the physique of the modern Indian player is far, far different from the player that we watched growing up as kids. They are absolutely mm-hmm. supreme athletes now. They have Indian players have always had incredibly strong and supple wrists. And now you combine that with the strength and the core and the forearm strength and all the rest of it, and they're able to generate bat speed that just means that you can be fearless, because even if you miss hit the ball slightly, as we saw in some of those shots, it still goes for six runs. So it's delightful to see yet another Indian player come in and make his mark on the IPL.
Oh yeah, it's a great point that you make there around the physical side of the game, because I think you're spot on in terms of how that's changed. I mean, especially changed T20 cricket. We look at, you know, even we're going to guys talk about some guys in the next game when we look at people like Mayank Yadav and even Marcus Stoinis is the first kind of name that comes to mind when you talk about strength for different players. But I guess onto the bowling side of things for KKR, Mitchell Starc finally on the board. That must have made you excited.
Yeah, it did. I think the thing that makes me excited from a KKR perspective, and I think we're starting to see that despite Binksy's, it's not misguided optimism, but it was certainly heart over head optimism at the start of the season, this team are the real deal. And the concerns that we had, you know, were they able to put a bowling performance together around Mitchell Starc and some of those other guys? Absolutely they are. And I guess if you make 272, then your bowlers come in with a groundswell of confidence and you can go and try things and things come off. And, you know, Narine bowls four overs for 29, Chakravarthy bowls three overs for 30, you know, and everything starts to look pretty rosy. But the thing that impressed me was that KKR took wickets up front, which I think that they need. They nullified the advantage of, you know, what we thought was a strong top four, top five in Warner, Shaw, Marsh, Punt, Stubbs, and you throw an Abhishek Perrell in there as well as a substitute. Like, that's a strong top six. And despite the fact that two of those guys got to 50, you know, Delhi were never really in the game. And they probably would have been if had it have been a quote-unquote regular T20 score batting first.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you know, I guess you can still take some positives from the Delhi side of things and think that Rishabh Pant, I mean, we talked about it on Monday, he's getting better every single game. It's very, very exciting, I imagine, from an Indian point of view, but, you know, certainly from a neutral, it's great to watch him bat. The flick that he played over fine leg off Venkatesh Iyer, there was some incredible shots. Yeah. You've already said it. Some incredible shots in this game. And Rishabh Pant, to kind of see him do that, I feel like, you know, he stays fit, he's going to be in that T20 World Cup side for India. And that was something that I really didn't know if he'd be able to get to that point so quickly. And look, you know, third, fourth game of this tournament, he's been able to do that. So that's been pretty incredible. On the KKR thing, you genuinely think they are just a lockdown? I mean, look, three games, three and very, very impressive wins. But, you know, are they the real deal now, title-wise? Is that what we're thinking?
Well, we're going to know when they play CSK, what, in 4 or 5 days' time. They've got a bit of a break now, KKR, before that game against CSK on April 9th. So we're going to know at that point whether or not they are the real deal. Their next three games are KKR on the 9th. Then they've got LSG on the 14th, who are riding high. We'll talk about them when we get to this next fixture. And then they've got Rajasthan. So we will know for sure by about the 17th of April, six games into the tournament, whether or not KKR are in fact really the real deal. But I tell you what, they've put two wannabe top four sides to the sword in the last couple of games. They've beaten Delhi, they've beaten RCB. And look, you've got to say that they are the real deal until someone knocks them over.
Absolutely, absolutely. Do we want to move on now to the LSG-RCB game?
Can we talk about KKR? Because it's not KKR. Can we talk about RCB? Because I think they're in big trouble in this tournament. They've got a must-win game coming up against, every game pretty much from here on in is must-win, right? If we think that, you know, if you want to be in the top four without having to rely on net run rate, 9 wins I think is probably the minimum. They've got to find another 8 wins from their next 10 games. So they have to roll 8-2. Their next three games are Rajasthan, which is going to be a tough out for them. Then Mumbai, who they're hurting and they want to get their season back on track. Then they've got Sunrisers, who aren't going to be a pushover despite the fact that they're 1-2 to start the season themselves, the Sunrisers. So, look, it is the pushing the proverbial up a very, very steep hill without much Archimedes machinery to lend them a hand. They've got to get some real contributions, dare I say it, from their middle order, from their Australian contingent, have to stand up and make match-winning contributions, and they're just not at the moment. If Kohli goes big, then they're a chance of winning the game at the moment. No one else is really making a significant contribution like we saw in that KKR game. KKR made significant contributions all up and down the order. We're not seeing that from RCB, and until we do, the fact that their bowling attack is not bowling sides out for low scores means they have to chase 180-plus every game, and that was Raj's fear at the start of the season, and it's starting to come true now.
Yeah, look, I mean, for RCB, I mean, this felt like a big game early on in this tournament. I know it's early on in this tournament, but real stuttering start for them, as you say. And, you know, I think that you made the point before that you need, I think I looked at the table and you needed 8 wins to get into the semis last year. So, you know, maybe they can sneak in with 8, but yeah, they're going to have to get a move on. And I mean, is it as simple though for them as that Green and Maxwell and Faf, I guess, have to just start putting in match-winning performances? Because, you know, if you'd have said to me at the start of the tournament, we talked before about, you know, maybe underselling the match-winning potential of the likes of Russell and Naren. If you'd have said to me, how many games, you know, give me a combo of Cameron Green and Glenn Maxwell compared to, you know, Sunil Narine and Andre Russell, I'd have picked Green and Maxwell just because of the things that they've shown recently in, you know, fair enough, probably in ODI cricket more so, and Cameron Green is still a bit untested in this kind of environment, especially at T20 cricket. But I still would have picked them just because of, I guess maybe even just because of name value. But is it as simple as those guys stepping up now and starting to win games for RCB?
I think one side of the coin will beget the other. I think if they're chasing lower scores, RCB will feel like they have a little bit more time. And I feel like Cameron Green and Maxwell, if they have just a tiny bit more time to get themselves in before they have to go, they will be far, far more successful. They'll end up getting more runs as a result. I think if they are able to take a little bit more time in the game to get themselves set and then go, I think that's a far more beneficial strategy for them than having to go from ball one, because they're perennially chasing 180 to 200 plus, as Raj kind of alluded to in his preview. So I think the bowling's got to take care of business for them to allow their batters a little bit more time to get themselves going, and then they can get going and get those big scores. I like what they've done with bringing they brought Topley in for this game, Stuart. They did, eh? And
yep.
I just watching the highlights, I felt like, yeah, okay, he went for a few early doors, but that can happen. But he swung the ball, he moved the ball around a bit, he gave them a point of difference as a left armer. I think they've just got to get in there and do the business, their bowlers, and that will allow Green and Maxwell to come in and do the damage. I thought Lomrol was okay in this last game that they played. He got, what, 30 or 40 odd as well, off not many balls. But, you know, they need solid contributions up and down that order. They're just not getting them right now.
Yeah, look, Topley, I agree with that. Topley, I thought, you know, third ball draws a false shot from Quinton de Kock. Definitely had it a bit moving around a little bit. But, you know, that's kind of, as we talked about with Stark on Monday, these guys, in the power play, there's just no wiggle room, basically. You know, he bowls that ball, gets a false shot, but it goes over the keeper for four. And then a couple more boundaries in the over. Suddenly, you know, he's gone for 12 in that over. Quinton de Kock hits a few lusty blows off Mohammad Siraj, and suddenly he's off to a flyer. And it's just really, really hard to bring back the momentum after that. You know, once these guys get going, and we saw it with de Kock, he was able to get in this innings, get off to a flying start, and then just carry on and carry on. And you look, I mean, Raj said before, if guys are facing 60 balls, he expects them to score 100 now in T20 cricket. De Kock didn't quite get that. But I think he took them to a position where you can bring in Nicholas Pooran late in the innings and come in and just take over. So, yeah, look, RCB has got to, as much as Topley came in and looked good, they've got to take wickets up front, and it just isn't happening for them at the moment.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And then, like, we've said it before and we'll say it again, they need to get, like, real contributions from their super-duper stars. Siraj went for 47 against LSG the other night. You know, they allowed sides to get away. I think actually the catching hurt them. I can't remember if it was Pooran or if it was de Kock. One of them was dropped really early and went on and punished them. It was on maybe two or three, something like that. Might have even been Pooran, was dropped early doors. So the standard of fielding, like, is not up to the standard I think we expect in the IPL. There are some catches that are being dropped that really should be taken. And that's disappointing, because it can have a big impact on the game and it can define your season. A single catch can define your season. So it is a little bit disappointing when you see those catches going down. But yeah, Quinton de Kock has bounced back. He's been terrific. They got contributions from Marcus Stoinis, which pleased me, 24 off 15. That's exactly what Australia want from him in a T20 environment. They want him to get big runs at the end of the innings, put the icing on the cake. And just Nicholas Pooran's innings was just fantastic. I thought he was not quite the pick of the players. That was clearly Quinton de Kock for his 81. But Pooran was able to take the game away from RCB in those last few overs with some tremendous power hitting, and actually took a really good catch and a great run out as well. He had a great game.
Yeah, he did. And he's been great all tournament. I think, you know, us Kyle Mayers fans thinking he might be able to sneak in and play ahead of Pooran at different times have been, you know, that door, I think, has been shut. Pooran's been fantastic. And it wasn't even, as you say, it kind of wasn't a perfect innings from Pooran. It was on a ball-by-ball basis. I think if you watched that innings, you thought he's not quite in wonderful touch. But then, you know, when he connects, it goes for, you know, huge, huge sixes. And he finishes on 40 off 21 balls, striking at nearly 200. So, you know, exactly what you want from someone coming in at that part of the innings. We've got this far in the pod, Baldy, but we haven't talked about the real star from this game and from LSG's couple of games. Your running joke is always that LSG are not just regular giants. Mayank Yadav is no regular boulder bully. He's running in, hitting 157 clicks. I mean, this is so good to watch. It's so, so fun.
It's incredibly fun. And I guess if for the casual fan, he is the ultimate T20 player, isn't he? He's the guy who comes in, provides tremendous entertainment. He makes things happen. Every ball's an event with Mayank Yadav at the moment. I mean, the guys he got out, he got three for. He got Patida, he got Maxwell, he got Cameron Green. And the Cameron Green one was by far the best of them. That is the most comprehensive dismissal I think I've seen in quite some time. Cameron Green, who got 170 in the test here against New Zealand and looked $1 million, he looked at sea against that delivery. And sure, he'd only faced 9 or 10 balls, but man, that was some ball. And he was well up into the 150s, 150 plus consistently during that spell. And it's not like he's just bowling, you know, 145 and then one slips up if it's, you know, a low full toss. He is consistently up above 150. I don't know if they turn the speed guns up or down or whatever, but like it is something to watch. It is fantastic to watch him bowl. And look, I don't know, Stu, can he bowl himself into India contention for the World Cup in this IPL?
I don't know. I mean, you got to start thinking about that. I saw a stat the other day. I don't, you know, on social media, so I have no idea if it's actually true, but that he's bowled. He's only bowled 50 balls in IPL cricket or something like that, but he has bowled the most 155 plus balls already in IPL history. So that seems remarkable. He's the first player in IPL history to win player of the match in their first two IPL games. And as you say, the way he got Green, he's bowling to someone who just isn't at that level, you know, like someone who can't, who's not equipped to face quick bowling. But Cameron Green's grown up in Western Australia and on Perth pitches and fast pitches, and he's just gone straight through them. So yeah, absolutely remarkable. I mean, whether he can get into the Indian side, I mean, who knows? I mean, it'd be hard pressed to keep him out at the moment just because it's so exciting. I mean, I know this probably feels like an overreaction after two games, but he's been brilliant. And I think the excellent thing about him is that he's not going for runs either. You know, like he's not getting smashed around. We talked about all these other pace bowlers that are bowling in this tournament. They bowl a loose ball and it gets hit for four. Yadav just isn't getting hit for boundaries as well, which is just gold dust in T20 cricket.
Absolutely. 17 dot balls in his spell the other night against RCB. And sure, they were on top of the game, but, you know, 3 for 14 off of his four. You have a look at Pundia went for 10s. A lot of the other bowlers went for, you know, Ravi Bishnoi went for 11s. Yash Thakur went for 9. Stoinis went for 9. Okay, Stoinis only bowled one over. Fair enough. But like that is a marked difference in terms of run rate and economy from Mayank Yadav, even compared to his teammates in that same game. If I'm India, I am looking at him very, very seriously for this World Cup. I know that the wickets are slower in the West Indies. I know that there's not going to be as much pace and bounce. But if you can bowl that quickly, the amount of bounce in the wicket is not as relevant. And if he can provide a point of difference for India in that World Cup, he could be the guy that pushes them over the top. And if he can bowl alongside a Bumrah and a Jadeja and an Ashwin or whoever in that Indian attack, you're looking at a player who can make a real difference to a team that has aspirations to win that World Cup. So I'd be looking at him very, very seriously. And if I was an Indian fan, I'd be super excited to see what he can do over the next, half a dozen games or so, to see if he can really go on a tear and start putting some very, very real fear into some of these batting lineups going forward.
And I guess just to finish today, how did that make, I mean, we've talked a little bit about how RCB's kind of got to get a move on. How did it make you feel watching this game about LSG's performance? Because they are someone we had only seen two games from them that I think we said the other night. They've won the game we thought they'd win. They'd lost the game we thought they might lose. So has it sort of changed your opinion on how we view them?
Yeah, I have. I've changed my opinion on how we view them. I thought in the preview show that they were going to be also ranked in this tournament. They were alongside the sort of Sunrisers. I had them alongside KKR, who've proven to be a very, very big hit in this tournament. But I had them in that sort of 4 through 8, not making much noise range in the tournament, finishing sort of roughly between 6 and 7 wins and you know, being there or thereabouts, but not really making teams sit up and take notice. I know this is only one game against RCB, who were in a bit of a funk, but, you know, you have to respect winning. and LSG have put two wins on the trot, not on the trot, two wins on the board now. And if we have a look at the table, I'm just going to jump over to the table, Stu, because I think it's worth having a look at who they've got coming up. LSG have got Gujarat coming up, who are just below them on a ladder. Then they've got DC, winnable game. And then they've got KKR and back-to-back games against CSK, actually, in the middle of that tournament. So they've got an opportunity here to go on a bit of a tear. And we've seen in an IPL, you can, if you can get sort of three or four wins on the bounce, momentum does funny things in this tournament. So if they could get through sort of the Gujarat-Delhi games with two wins, then they go and go, okay, well, we're 4-1 now. We can afford to drop one game against KKR, CSK, and then CSK again without really affecting their tournament hopes. But I think their whole season hinges on games 6 through 9, where they play KKR, CSK twice, and then Rajasthan. If they can get through that at 2-2, then they're a chance at playing finals cricket.
Yeah, look, it feels early days to be saying this, but it almost feels like some of these top teams are starting to put a little bit of a gap already. I mean, KKR and Rajasthan, obviously 3 from 3 helps, but CSK, we feel, is looking like a side that is going to be in the mix there. And suddenly, it doesn't leave many spots left. So yeah, even that Gujarat game coming up next for LSG, it feels quite a big one for them because, yeah, they go in, they win that game, they go in 3-1 and starting to feel pretty good about themselves. You know, flip it the other side and you're going, okay, 2-2, where are we at? So, yeah, massive game coming up. And, yeah, I feel like we're going to be saying that every single time we do these shows, we're going to be saying big games coming up. I suppose it's the nature of this tournament when you've got so many teams and so many teams that can kind of beat each other on their day.
Yep, you're absolutely right. And I think the big games are the games that are in that sort of 3, 4, 5 bracket at the moment. And what can teams do to stay in the hunt against, you know, the emerging front runners of Rajasthan and Kolkata and Chennai at the moment. But I'm looking down the bottom of the table. I'm looking at Delhi 1-3. I'm looking at RCB 1-3. I'm looking at Mumbai 0-3. We expected two of those sides to play finals cricket this year. And they are absolutely nowhere at the moment. And so for those teams, every game is a big game because they can't afford to drop too many more across the whole tournament and still expect to have finals aspirations. So for those guys, it is almost semi-final time already after 3 or 4 games. And if you have a look at, you know, the next game that Mumbai and Delhi play are against each other. So at least one of those teams is going to start building some momentum into this tournament. If you have a look at Delhi's run, we didn't really talk about them too much, but they've got Mumbai next, then LSG, then Gujarat, then Sunrisers, and then Gujarat again. So they are probably the team that could go on a bit of a run at the moment, even though they've lost to KKR and been thumped in the process, that they've got an opportunity to string 4 out of the next 5 together potentially and get themselves back on track. Mumbai, Delhi next, then they've got RCB, CSK, Punjab and Rajasthan. So they would have to beat some pretty good teams to go on a run there, but there are some winnable games in that slate. All of those three teams, RCB, Delhi and Mumbai, they need to go on a run and soon, otherwise it's going to be too little too late.
Absolutely. That probably wraps it up, unless you've got anything else to add, Baldy. It's been lovely jumping on and talking about these games. I mean, yeah, as you say, the games are coming thick and fast, but it feels like there's something in every game that kind of gets us excited. And yet the more Mayank Yadav keeps cranking up, if he can get to 160, you know, my head might explode. And the way that these teams are, you know, smashing it all around, I'd love to see him, yeah, up against KKR pretty soon and having a crack at some of these bowlers, because that will be very, very exciting. We'll leave it there for the evening. It's been a pleasure to talk to you guys. Anyone who is listening on YouTube or watching on YouTube, if you did want to hear our power rankings, we haven't put them up because we had a bit of a glitch with the video. So they are available on all the podcast channels. So just go and find, you can find the audio only. We didn't put it on YouTube since it is audio only for that one. But yeah, we should be back and hopefully all sorted again for next Monday night. And then all the Mondays and Mondays or Tuesday going forward for the power rankings. And then a midweek one kind of catching up on a few games as well. So stick with us here for the Top Order podcast coverage of the IPL. Make sure you like and subscribe and do all of those wonderful things. And we'll see you all very soon.
Social Podcast Network.